And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Welcome back to the Yacht Club Show. This is Killer. Join the studio with Dr. Jim and Rev D.
How you doing, Killer?
Good. Dr. Jim, how are you doing? What's new?
I have to tell you, my golf game is getting marvelous. I had best round of my life today.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You've said that the last couple times we were together. You must be on quite a streak.
I am. I played so far I played 4 weeks this season. And every round I've scored better than the previous one.
Ah.
Wow.
Progress.
I'll be on the tour by the fall.
I think, is it Caddyshack where that guy was having the round of his life and he's golfing
in the... Bishop or the...
golfing in the storm. Yeah. That's Dr. Jim.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Jim.
Jim will be out there with lightning and got his poncho on.
Yeah, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Good for you, Dr. Jim. I like to hear that. You know, it just gets better.
Get better with age.
Yep. How are you doing, Rev D?
I'm doing good. Just got back from Charlevoix.
Mean streets of Charlevoix.
And I got to tell you guys a little story. We were up there July 4th, and, you know, they had the drawbridge there in Charlevoix. And there's a fellow that lived up there by the name of Paul Belding. Paul passed away a couple of years ago, but he was a lifelong Charlevoix resident, electrical engineer, always with fish by the bridge. And it was his dream that the bridge should be lit up so it would be visible from a distance. And July 4th, they had this ceremony. They did finally light the bridge, the first phase. There's a second phase of the bridge lighting coming. But what was interesting, if you remember last week, was when Colin Kaepernick and the
Betsy Ross flag.
The Betsy Ross flag shoes and the brouhaha that was about that. And I was thinking about that night when people are out at the bridge for this lighting ceremony. And it was, like I said, it was on July 4th, and they lit the bridge up in red, white, and blue.
Cool.
There's about 300-400 people out there, both sides of the water. Just a great time. Everybody was just happy. It was just America at its finest. And I was thinking about that at the same time as Kaepernick in the shoes, and how this was a symbol of what was it?
At the time there was still slavery. Is that
No. There were these fringe white supremacist groups who are using the Betsy Ross flag.
When they did the research on it, that was his given reason. But they did the research on it, it's kind of a far-fetched idea. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a stretch that he was coming up with. Mm-hmm. You know, it just seems that anything with... There's a portion of America now that does not like America.
Oh, no
question. For whatever reason. And I'm not saying America is without fault. I mean, there are a lot of...
Name a perfect nation. Exactly. I'd like to hear what nation that is, yeah.
But, you know, it's a pretty darn good place. You don't see... people aren't looking to... this is the country they want to come to. You know, I think...
country I want to stay.
Well, Gallup did a poll, and... I don't know what the percentage of the people in the world who would want to move to America was. I'm not even going to quote it, but it was pretty darn high. This is the place that people want to come.
It's the land of hopes and dreams, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is.
And I was thinking about that night that here the bridge is lit up red, white, and blue, and people are happy to be there.
Happy to be an American.
Yeah, and just with all the controversy going on with the shoes and the craziness, and it restored my faith. You know, you get caught up in the news, and everybody's got a grievance right now. But there are some good things happening in America, and we can't lose sight of that.
No, we can't. That's a good story. It does give you some hope.
Questions for you guys. I want to get the table's thoughts here. First one, did you watch the debate?
No.
Did you check that out?
Little bits and pieces.
I did, about 10 minutes of each day. I was not a big viewer of it. But anyway.
Just caught the sound bites afterwards.
Well, then you obviously heard this.
Yeah.
Kamala going after Joe.
Right. Okay. Yep. I was one of those, or why was one of them?
Yeah, the busing thing.
Yeah.
About the busing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He was. In response to his saying he worked with segregationists to get things done. Okay.
Yeah.
So, did Kamala deal Joe a knockout blow?
No.
Did she wound him?
She did wound him in the sense that, to me, she made people wonder how well he can think on his feet.
I think that's the biggest thing. He's lost his. He's probably got two chances for a miscue.
Mm-hmm.
He's used one of them.
Okay.
Right now.
He better get himself some good drugs for the next couple of debates.
Right. It's
to rev up the brain.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one.
That's really. It wasn't so much. I think she caught him off guard with the question. So, to me, it was like...
It was a gotcha question.
And she was coming at him with, you know, being a black woman running for president and his being part of the older generation. Have been around for 100 years doing responsible for everything the way it is today. She just went on the attack, and that's the way these things are. I don't necessarily fault her for going on the attack, thinking she could get away with it. It's not very statesmanlike to do it, but she's fighting for...
She's got to get the...
I haven't seen the latest approval ratings or whatever. Who's the front runner?
Biden's still
the front runner.
So it's not a knockout blow then.
No, it wasn't a knockout blow, but she did wound him.
Yeah. Right, okay. Definitely.
And he dropped substantially.
Right.
He went from like 32% to like 24 or 22%.
Who was the big winner then?
She was.
Her and Elizabeth Warren were the big winners from last week.
Okay. Well, they'll get theirs. I mean, there's so much time.
Mayor Pete, his vice presidential credentials are rolling up nicely.
Because what will happen is Kamala or... Elizabeth, they'll be the front runner. We'll be gunning for them. So they'll come up with something on them. It'll be like a seesaw, you know, for a while.
We've got a long way to go.
Iowa's
in January. Mm. End of January, isn't it? So, yeah, there's a long way. But interesting
Harris has some baggage. I really do. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. No, she's, like Jim says, or one of you just said, if she's the front runner, they're going to come.
Oh, yeah.
The long knives will be out for her.
Where she wounded Biden is on this being able to think on his feet. His whole reason for being on the stage in the contest is that he's the guy who supposedly can beat Trump.
Right.
But if he gets in a debate with Trump and he starts fumbling around, my time's up, isn't it? with Trump, Trump is not going to be. What's the matter, Joe? You're off your meds today. You know, he's gonna really make him look foolish.
Yeah, that's true. All right, other question. You've been reading about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
Jeffrey.
Okay. What happens? What do you think comes of this?
He's gonna get nailed to the wall.
I know he is. Do you think to save himself, as he named names.
I think he'll get nailed to the wall with the stipulation that we have to nail you to the wall. How many nails we put in you is going to be determined by
how cooperative you are.
How much of a beating will you take and stay quiet?
Well, number one, you wonder about the secrecy of the agreement in the first place, and why he got a sweetheart deal,
right?
From what I, you know, reading what I read, and the who's the guy in the Trump administration?
Costa.
Who's it?
The labor.
Yeah, labor.
Labor guy.
He's going to be gone at some point. He's going
to
take the hit.
Only because,
rightly or wrong, I don't know.
Only because, you know, yeah, right.
Only because
right
he's a prosecutor getting a sweetheart deal.
Yeah, right. No, I know, but he says there's new evidence now.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah.
I don't know if there's new evidence or it's new to us.
Yeah.
No, I guess if Trump wants to keep him around, he'll keep him around. But
no, I think they'll jettison. I just can't see him keeping him around with this. But I keep reading is that, man, there's a lot of big names that are going to be come out in this. And
so you keep hearing, but
you never. Well, I'm sure they're scurrying.
Yeah,
right now.
Well, Bill's in CYA mode, big time.
Oh yeah,
he's. He's really in CYA, so right. I don't know. That, to me, that's either smart or just to diffuse it, or he's really in trouble.
Well, Bill's been through this before, so he knows the game plan.
Yeah. Bill's not the sharpest knife in the drawer anymore.
Not anymore. He's slowed down, hasn't he?
He is. He's in Biden country.
He's what, mid-70s now?
My age. He's 73.
73? Got a lot of miles on that that boy.
He's burned out a lot of brain cells.
Well, look out, Jim. Sharp as a tack. And Bill is...
Maybe Bill needs Dr. Jim to give him some...
That's what I'm thinking. Some counsel.
Right. Okay, I got a little quiz.
I'll be his whisperer. I'll be the Bill whisperer. Was that Bill? Bill says...
There you go. All right, I got a little quiz for you guys. Okay, don't look at my notes, Killer. You're trying to get
answers.
You've got to get the answers ahead, okay?
Yeah, that's why I operated the school. Right. I'm always looking at the smart kids paper.
That's a good way to get through school.
That's the way to do it. Too many of us looked at the dumb kids paper. Yeah.
Oh, I did that too. I got burned once. That's another story.
Well, sometimes it's all you got.
That's right.
Shoot your best shot.
You know, although he wasn't dumb. He just didn't do his homework, and I was copying off of him. You know, he didn't study.
Hope somebody studied around. You always look for the girl. The girl always, the girl was on the honor roll all the time.
Well, I didn't have girls in my class, so that's a problem.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. So which of these lunkheads is my best shot here?
All right, but anyway, we've got 22
presidential
candidates.
Okay.
Democrats, right? Okay. So I thought it would be interesting to give you guys some of the lesser-known names that you guys keep up on current events. And so some of the lesser-known...
I probably keep up more on the Tigers, but
well,
go ahead.
Well, good. So I'll give some names of present-day Tigers who are on the roster and some of the lesser-known Democrat presidential candidates right now. And just see if you know... You can tell who's who.
Which group they belong.
Okay. First run. Gregory Soto.
Oh, yeah. Easy. He's even on the Tigers. He's been pitching for them.
I had no idea who he was.
Really?
Okay. All right. Okay.
How about you?
Maybe. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Gordon Beckham.
Come on. Too easy, Dave.
Okay.
He played for the White Sox for years. He's on the Tigers now.
You're out of this.
I'm out. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to back out.
Okay. All right. Joe Sestak.
I'm going to say he's a Tiger because I figure if I never heard of him, he's probably a Tiger.
He's a candidate.
Yeah.
He's a candidate.
I never heard of him, so I was going to say he's a politician.
All right. Wayne Mossen.
Wayne Mossen. That sounds like a baseball player to me.
I don't think so. I think he's a politician.
He's a politician.
Okay.
Oh! Politician named Wayne? I know.
He doesn't stand a chance, huh?
All right. Harold Castro.
There's a Castro running, but I don't think his name is Harold. I'm going to say he's a politician.
No, he's a tiger.
He's a tiger. Okay.
It's Jew. That's he's actually playing for them, guys. He's an infielder. He's on the roster. He plays for the Tigers.
Are you listening to the games?
I always check the box score. Who the up and coming players are.
Do they have one?
Jury's still out. Yeah, maybe Candelario will shape into a decent.
Last I looked, they were 28-56.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's awful. All right. Robert Wilson.
I'm out, remember?
You're out.
I'll go with baseball player.
Oh, good one, Jim.
I got one.
You got one.
Oh, see, I would have said politician. Okay.
I was trying to throw you
guys. Oh, Bobby Wilson. Yeah, he's the catcher they picked up.
That's right. I was trying to throw you guys.
Yeah, the Robert threw me off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys did pretty good.
Did we?
Yeah, Noel.
I got one.
Well,
we'll put Mike. Mike did pretty good.
He threw me with Robert. I knew Bobby Wilson too.
I figured Robert sounded more like a politician in there.
Good one, Rev D. Nice job. Do you happen to have a bonehead?
I do. Okay, you might have seen this one last week. Authorities say a Texas woman ate half a cake while roaming the aisles of a Walmart store.
I did.
And then refused to pay full price for it, claiming she had found it happy. Wichita Falls Police Sergeant Harold McClure says the woman picked up the cake at the store's bakery last Tuesday and ate half of it before getting to the checkout counter. He says a manager called police after the woman claimed she had found the cake that way and would not pay full price for it.
I gotta believe she had like the frosting and stuff, you know, on her mouth as she's denying this too.
Dripping down.
Cut your quarter. Yeah, that's the other thing. They didn't catch that. Half a gallon of milk that was.
Well, that's like she's like the girl in.
Probably put it back.
She might. Well, the girl in was Texas who licked the ice cream.
Yeah,
and put that back in the freezer. Did you see about that? Was just this weekend. Yeah.
What'd she do?
She licked a half gallon ice, you know, took the top off, licked it, and put it back in the in the freezer. They caught her.
Yeah.
It's probably on surveillance tape or something.
Yeah. I think there's been a couple of those things, too.
Okay. Now, I've seen people, and I may have even done it myself, pick a grape to see. See how ripe they are or whatever. Maybe somebody takes a strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
But eat half a cake? that takes some chutzpah.
That takes some chutzpah. Yeah, it sure does.
To do something like that. And I'm sure that happens a lot. Or I don't know a lot, but I'm sure that's not the first time it's happened.
Probably not.
You know, so next time I'll leave.
Next time you see a half a cake in the store.
Well, I'll know what happened. But I was going to say, I'll leave the grape. I'll take my chances of getting some decent grapes next time. I'll be eating half the vine before I leave. What the heck are people thinking?
Or why they think that's acceptable. Why they think that's normal behavior. I don't get it.
Yeah. Seems like a great idea at the time.
She was hungry.
Yeah.
Seemed like the right thing to do with
it. I just need a little bit of ice cream. I don't want the whole half gallon.
Well, it's probably like me with a cake, you know, you dip your finger in it and you just, you know, and then you're going to stop. And then she probably was going to just,
she just wanted a little
break off part of the frosting initially. And it's just one thing led to another. On the other end of the line here, we've got Coach.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Coach, how are you?
Good. Got the gang all there?
We're all here.
Hey, Coach, I understand you've got a Lee Iacocca story.
You know, he passed away last week, and he's been in the news a lot, you know, reviewing his career and his life. And he was really kind of the last of a breed, you know, of the auto barons. The one thing is, if you remember back in the around 1990, when he had gotten a big bonus, about a $20 million bonus at Chrysler, and I think Donald Peterson was a head of Ford, and he had gotten a big bonus that year, and did Roger Smith. And so Ben Bidwell, who was the president of Chrysler, he was retiring that year, so they had a... And if you, I don't know if you remember Ben Bidwell, but he came over from Ford with Iacocca, and he was a sales and marketing guy, and he spent a lot of time with the press. They used to give those 10-day reports back then as to how many cars they had sold in the last 10 days.
I remember Bidwell, the name, yeah.
But he was quite Bidwell was, he had a great sense of humor, and the press really liked him, because he always was good for a few laughs. Anyways, they had this retirement party for him, and... it was 1990, and around the same time, my old boss and friend and mentor, Hoot McInerney, was building a house out in Bloomfield Hills, and it was the talk of the town, because he had taken down a house, and he had just built this house that was really something to see. So anyways, they're having this, retirement party now, so Ben Bidwell gets up at the end of the party, and they're all kind of roasting him the whole time. So he says, "I got something I want to show you." And he says, "I got a slideshow." He says, "There's been a lot of press recently about the excess of the auto executives and their pay." He says, "I want to just give you a few examples of this." So he clicks through the first slide. He says, This house is Roger Smith's house. Look at the size of this place. What an example of excess that's built on the back of hardworking American laborers." He clicks through the next one. He says, "And this one, Lee Iacocca's house." He says, "Another example of just wasted opulence built on the back of American hardworking American laborer."
So is this in front of Lee?
Yeah, they're all there at this party. You know?
Okay.
So then he clicks through to, I think it was Donald Peterson was the last one, and he says, "Again, who could ever justify a house this big, and what kind of pay would you need to be able to afford something like this?" So then he clicks through this last slide, and it's Hoot's house. And Hoot's house makes the other one all look like cottages, you know. And he says, "Now this house was built the good old-fashioned American way, one sucker at a time."
Oh, man.
Yeah, so anyways, I remember that story. This guy, Ben Bidwell, he could really, those guys could really give it to each other behind closed doors.
Sounds like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Iacocca was quite a story.
Yeah, he was. You know, you think about it, and again, it was all in the obituaries, but, you know, you think about, he, you know, was called the father of the Mustangs.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the beginning of those, I guess they called them the pony cars.
Right.
And then, I mean, it was you know, it created a whole new category. And then the minivan.
Huge success.
You know, before that, too, there's an article from Ford said that the Ford Bronco was under his leadership. So that was that was one of the first go-anywhere, do-anything utility. That's really the first SUV under
I think his name was Hal Spurlick. He was the chief engineer. Came over from Ford also. They were kind of like doodling, or this Spurlick was kind of toying with the idea of this minivan when he was at Ford. And then when he went to Chrysler and they came out with the K-car, they just, they used that K-car platform, and, you know, what a hit that was. They still, you know, they dominate that category, the minivan category,
sure,
to this day.
That was an amazing vehicle. I mean, when you had kids, I don't know if you guys drove one, but we've definitely.
Chrysler minivans, first generation was fantastic.
They were great.
I had one.
Yeah.
You could have Cheerios all through the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a family assault vehicle.
It was a family mover for sure. Yeah. Didn't Iacocca So he took over Chrysler when they were on the verge of bankruptcy.
No, he came over when they were you know, teetering, and they went to the government.
That's right. And he said he wouldn't take a penny until they became profitable or something like that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And they got the loan guarantees, and then they paid it back early. So
I tell you, when I was in college, his books were must read for business classes.
Yeah.
I think he had a couple of them.
Yeah, he did. And he also, you know, when they bought Jeep, or AMC and Jeep, when they built that first Grand Cherokee, it was in the, I guess it was about 93, that was the first of that type of vehicle that was on a, what they call a unibody, that wasn't put on a truck, like, what do they call, body on chassis. Mm-hmm. So it kind of had a car ride to it. Mm-hmm. So, and again, they pretty well dominate that SUV market too.
Yeah, they did.
That space, anyways, you know.
What a legacy! You know, it's funny. Were you guys, when I saw that he passed away this week, I'm thinking, I guess I thought he already did, because he's been so out of the public eye for so long. He must have been in poor health. He had to have been, right? Because there's been no peep out of him for years.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of iconic people, how about Ross Perot passing away today?
I saw him today, right?
Boy, talk about two legends, Iacocca and Ross Perot within a couple of days, really.
Yeah. Well, you think of, like, the connection between, you know, Iacocca, again, the last of a breed, and Ross Perot, and but now Iacocca going back to Henry Ford II.
Yeah.
Fired him from Ford.
Yeah.
Who went back to, you know, the original, you know, his dad and grandfather, you know.
Joe, the Deuce fired him because he was getting too much credit? Wasn't that the story?
More of an ego thing?
More of an ego thing.
It wasn't about performance.
No, that's for sure.
But it was, you know, I think what he told him was, I think the language he used was, sometimes you just don't like somebody.
Yeah.
That's what
the Deuce said?
Because Iacocca said, Henry, can you tell me why? And he says, you know, sometimes you just don't like somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember reading that.
And Iacocca, he was the first CEO to do commercials.
He was like a celebrity. Yeah. He really was.
Yeah, he was.
See, he's the guy, if you can find a better car, buy it, right?
Yeah.
That was a commercial, right?
And did he do Snoop Dogg? He did a commercial with...
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He was riding in there. I guess I read that he was in the car while they're kind of in between filming, and he said to Snoop Dogg, he says, you know, my grandkids are really thrilled that I'm doing this commercial with you. And he said, well, Snoop Dogg said, well, my mom's really happy that I'm doing this with you. I don't know if you said my mom or my grandmother. I can't remember which one it was.
I don't want to steal anything from Lee Iacocca, because he certainly was a giant in the automotive industry. But Ross Perot, you know, I work for EDS. I work for Perot Systems. That whole Wings of Eagle thing where he financed, he put together that clandestine group that went in and rescued the two EDS employees that were held hostage, I think, in Iran.
Yeah. It's almost like a Tom Clancy novel.
It ended up being a novel. It was Ken Follett. Yeah. Ken Follett or Follett. I think it was called On Wings of Eagles. It's a great story.
Yeah.
And really, two guys that had an impact somewhat in Detroit, you know, because GM bought EDS and moved up a bunch of EDS cowboys from Texas, and there was a culture clash, and I was in the middle of that. That was interesting, but
well, you know, if you remember when Ross Perot, when he ran for president, they'd have those debates with, they were classic, with Ross Perot, Clinton, and George Bush Senior. You know, I remember there one of the interviewers, and he was so plain spoken. The interviewer says, "Well, Mr. Perot, what do you think about Governor Clinton stepping from, you know, Arkansas, the governor of Arkansas, and becoming the president of the United States?" And he said, "Well," he says, "Arkansas is a fine state, but that's like saying the guy that runs the corner store could be the chairman of Walmart.
he invented the soundbite, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of did, right? His flashcards and his graphs. And I think the whole soundbite thing really kind of became a real concept.
The giant sucking sound.
Yeah, the NAFTA.
Yeah, right, exactly.
The giant sucking sound.
From the south of the border.
If everybody was for it, both parties were for it, there was something wrong with it.
Yeah.
He got, 19% of the vote or something like that when he ran, and they'd say that that's probably why Clinton won. He stole a lot of Bush's votes or whatever. But
he was doing real well, and then for a short period of time, he kind of dropped out, remember?
Yeah, he did.
And he took it back up again.
Because
he threatened his family.
A paranoia or something that his family was being spied on or whatever, but...
Yeah.
You know, at the time it sounded pretty paranoid, but now I'm thinking it's probably what was going on.
Yeah.
No, I remember thinking at the time he was really smart, but then he got like zapped from Mars.
Right.
He got a moon. Or
exactly.
A Mars beast. He got him, and he.
But maybe
went
there's
crazy.
More.
Maybe so.
Maybe maybe that stuff really was happening.
The Clintons got him. The Clinton machine.
Yeah. That's right.
I'll subscribe to that theory. Well, good stuff, Joe.
All right, guys. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of stuff going on,
Well, we lost a couple. Lost a couple of giants. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about as big as you can get.
Yeah,
they really are.
That's right.
All right. Well, on that note,
Killer, Dr. Jim, Joe, this week you can sleep with both eyes closed.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah,
I've been losing a lot of sleep lately.
Well, you saw Trump and Kim got together.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they're at least talking again.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep them both closed now during the summer. For a while, anyway.
And a special tribute to Lee Iacocca. If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.
I like that. That might be our new slogan.
There you go.
I like it.
And Jim?
And as always, illegitimi non comerendum est.
Joe, we got to have your patented sign off.
As always, keep the rubber side down.
All right, till next time. If you wish to be part of our email distribution with links to our YouTube streams, please send an email request to yachtclubshow@gmail.com. Music provided by Detroit's own The Renfields.